Dramatic NFL Films type music? Wait a minute. It must be time for an NFL preview. It indeed is time for an NFL preview, but it's also time for episode number 44 of the Sunday Morning Grind podcast, being released on a Thursday, but you know, details. Josh Taylor, Greg Finley, we got a lot to get to in this discussion here. We got to talk about the Steelers. First of all, their second preseason game against Jacksonville, and then preview that third and final game coming up against Detroit. We got to talk about this roster and how this could shake up the quarterback situation. Could they keep all three quarterbacks? We'll discuss. Plus, we got to go up and down the NFL. We'll preview the upcoming season. We'll tell you who our picks are for MVP, our picks for offensive, defensive player of the year, and for offensive and defensive rookie of the year. We'll get through those. Plus, we'll have a little bit of time at the end to play our favorite news headline game. Is this a thing? All that. Yeah, that should take us a pretty good chunk of time, especially on the episode number 44, otherwise dubbed, Greg,
the Brandon Moss episode.
I love it.
Thinking way outside the box this week.
That was fantastic. That was absolutely fantastic. I love it. That's a good one. I was thinking of old Steelers who wore 44. The only one that came to my mind was DJ Johnson. He was a defensive back for the Steelers like 30 years ago, maybe longer than that. But you coming back with the Brandon Moss was pretty good. I was impressed. That was good.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it just kind of came to me when you said we're on 44. Like, Brandon Moss? Yeah, why not?
That's about as good of obscure Pirates as they come. That's about as good as it gets. Brandon Moss, who came to Pittsburgh in the...
Oh, I have no idea what
Jason
you're asking
Bay trade.
Me. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know he came from the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, part of the Jason Bay trade. Along with, I'm trying to think who else
came
in that
minute.
Trade.
Didn't the Pirates trade Bay to the Mets?
No, he got traded to the Red Sox first.
Red Sox first.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a pitcher that came back in that deal who's, he ended up getting sick in some random ailment. And I can't think of his name right now. I'm going to look it up right now as we speak. And I can't think of it right now. But there was a pitcher they got back in that deal that, I think once he barely pitched that much for the Pirates, and then he had some like thoracic, like artery problem, and it messed up his arm. I got to think about who it is now. I'm gonna look that up right now as we speak because I know that was the Jason Bay trade. But yeah, Brandon Moss was in that trade, and I remember the reaction to that trade, and it was just absolutely insane. Here it is, July 31st, 2008. It was a three-team trade between the Pirates, Red Sox, and Dodgers. The Dodgers sent Andy LaRoche and Brian Morris to the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox sent Manny Ramirez to the Dodgers. And then the Red Sox sent Brandon Moss and Craig Hansen, was the pitcher's name, to the Pirates. So this was the return they got for trading out Jason Bay. They got Andy LaRoche, Brian Morris, Craig Hansen, and Brandon Moss.
They moved Manny for Jason Bay?
Yeah, and the Red Sox moved Manny to get Jason Bay.
What a weird trade.
And that was a year after they won a World Series.
There was a weird fallout with Manny and the Red Sox.
Yeah, Manny being Manny had been a thing for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking like 5 years of Manny being Manny, and I think just got sick of it. And they got Jason Bay. And Jason Bay ended up hitting pretty well in Boston, if I recall correctly.
He did okay for the Red Sox.
Then again, right-handed hitters tend to do well in Boston because, you know, there's that whole green monster thing.
Hit the ball high and far and you'll be okay.
Just hit it high and either smack it off the wall or hit it onto the expressway. You're good to go from a very short distance. But yeah, the Brian Moss episode, that's our history lesson behind today's numbering of the episode number 44, the Brian Moss Brandon Moss episode. See, I got Brian Morris on the brain
now.
Yeah,
you do.
Brian Morris.
And Andy LaRoche.
Oh, man. Man, those guys did nothing.
No, they were bad.
I think people hated Andy LaRoche the moment he got here. I think, A, they hated him because he was traded for Jason Bay.
Correct.
I think, B, they hated him because he was Adam LaRoche's brother. And then, C, they hated him because he pretty much did nothing. So, like, Pirates fans hated him three times over, which is really not cool.
And I can't blame them for any of those reasons.
I can't blame him for at least two. It's not his fault he was Adam LaRoche's brother. He can't do anything about that. But the other two, yep, I kind of see those.
Yep.
Anyway, we're not talking about baseball today. We're talking about football. We got to get into the Steelers. They won their second preseason game against Jacksonville. Another dramatic fourth quarter game-winning touchdown pass. This one from Mason Rudolph, who before the game had been demoted to the number three quarterback. Kenny Pickett came in. He was number two. Now, here's the cool thing to mention about Kenny Pickett, because the Steelers had touchdowns scored at each end of the half. Kenny Pickett led one, and then Mason Rudolph led one, which, when you're looking at the whole quarterback race, as you're trying to figure out who's going to get the start, who's going to be the backup, and who's, you know, long or not long for the parish, it looks like Kenny Pickett getting the opportunity that he got. We expected him to play more. He plays one drive, gets eight plays in, and leads the Steelers to a touchdown, and Mike Tomlin says, yep, we're good here, we're done, and sits him for the rest of the game. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, when they asked him about that, he said that he only wanted to play Kenny in the second quarter, and the problem was that they just kept committing penalties, and the offensive line was miserable, and they had three and outs, and so Kenny Pickett didn't really get to have too much time on the field because of that, but he still looked really good in the time that he was on the field. He leads a scoring drive, and Tomlin says, okay, we've seen enough. You look good, and we're moving on to the next quarterback.
The way I feel about what Kenny Pickett has done in two games, and there are people who still claim they haven't seen enough from him, the coaching staff clearly has seen him do everything they wanted him to do. Mike Tomlin said he said it going into the first game, the first preseason game against Seattle. He wanted his quarterbacks to lead the team down the field, move the ball down the field, don't turn it over, and be efficient. Kenny Pickett's done all three of those things.
Right.
I mean, granted, yes, he did it against you know, third string or fourth string guys, if you will, in the third, fourth quarter against Seattle. But then he gets an opportunity up against maybe the twos and threes against Jacksonville on the road, and he still does it.
There aren't many quarterbacks at the preseason level that you see look that good with a third or fourth team offense the way he did.
Exactly.
That game against Seattle.
That's the thing that's worth pointing out. Now, some of the guys he was throwing to in that game definitely were probably performing above level, like Jalen Warren, who caught that touchdown pass. That first touchdown pass he caught was really a more of a great second effort by Jalen Warren than it was anything done by Kenny Pickett, although he was smart to read the situation and get the ball to the guy that was open out of the backfield. Then he throws a two-point conversion to Connor Hayward, which was another pretty simple play, just a stick route from a couple yards out. He gets it to Hayward. Hayward hangs on. So those are good plays.
And the touchdown of Tyler Vaughn's.
That was all individual effort.
That guy, I just found out, and I probably should have known this ahead of time, was like the number one receiver at USC when they had Slovis as their quarterback.
Right.
I was watching Slovis highlights this week, and when Tyler Vaughn's would go up and get one, I was like, wait a minute, that's the Tyler Vaughn's
Tyler
on the
Vaughn's.
Steelers? Yeah. He looked really good in college, so it makes sense why he looked good in that preseason game.
Keaton Slovis, who has been officially named the starter for Pitt, came down just recently. Breaking news.
So we'll talk about that next week in our Pitt West Virginia preview.
Yeah, we'll break down the backyard brawl. That'll be fun. When we're talking about the quarterback situation here, here's the weird part about it, because the past couple weeks I've had the same theory. Mitchell Trubisky will start, Kenny Pickett will be the backup, and Mason Rudolph will probably be somewhere else because he'll probably get traded. But then the Steelers up and released Chris Olakun, whom they drafted with a 7-round draft pick. So you cut your 7th-round pick and you still have all three quarterbacks. What now? What happens now? This is weird.
I truly believe that nobody was calling the Steelers for Mason Rudolph.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment.
And so they threw in the towel on taking a quarterback, because I think when they took, Olakun? Is that how you say
Olakun,
it?
I think it is.
Yeah. When they took him, I think they were hoping that he would have been the third option at quarterback, and they could have moved Rudolph in a trade. The fact that they didn't do that, they pretty much said, okay, we messed up.
Especially considering the fact that Chris Olakun barely got any snaps at all.
Yeah, I thought we were going to see him play on Sunday. I thought we'd see him at least play a little bit against the Lions this week, but that's not the case because he's gone.
Now, here's still the possibility, because the fact that they let Chris Olakun go, they might have done that just to get the roster down to the number that they needed, because they had to reduce the roster.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make cuts, so Olatu Kuma's one of them. There's still the possibility that they could release him and then turn back around after they make a decision of what to do with the three quarterbacks. If they do decide to trade Mason Rudolph, then they could still bring him back. They could still sign him again later on after they make that move. So then maybe they're still looking for a trade partner and just haven't found one yet. But you still have to, you know, cut your roster down.
Yeah, I just don't think teams are calling them for Mason Rudolph.
I like that theory, actually.
Here's the other thing about the game against Jacksonville. Offensive line was terrible.
Ooh.
We've been talking about that on air and off air all week. We've been tweeting about it. We've seen videos all over social media about how bad Kendrick Green looked. Here's the thing.
Both Green and Daniels, they took turns getting whooped on series in that game.
Does it really matter who the quarterback is right now if your offensive line looks this bad?
Yes and no. No, because whoever it is, their job is going to be hell.
Right.
Yes, because if that guy is Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett, they're going to have a much harder time than if it's somebody like Mitch Trubisky.
That's why I think Trubisky gets the job.
I would agree with that. Because this is part of the argument that I'm making for starting, not only starting Mitch Trubisky, but also why this offense, this Matt Canada offense, is actually the right thing to have right now. Because one thing that this offense actually does, it kind of masks what could be an underperforming offensive line. Because if you're moving the pocket, if you're using play action, if you're allowing the pocket to move and Mitch Trubisky can roll with it, it kind of masks the understanding that the offensive line has to stay stationary and pass block. Now they're not doing that. Now they're on the run. That makes Mitch more mobile. That gives him a chance to both see down the field and make a play, or if he has nothing, he can also use his feet, which he had to do a couple times in this game against Jacksonville just to keep himself out of the way of pass rushers. So all of that comes into play for me. And not to mention the fact that I'm going to say this again. You didn't pay Mitchell Trubisky a lot, but you paid him a sizable amount to come to Pittsburgh. And this is the thing that sticks out more than anything. You paid him more than you're paying the other two guys. So if you want to find any other reason, not to mention the fact that Mitchell Trubisky hasn't played himself out of the starting job. Has Kenny Pickett played himself into it? We can make that case. You can make that argument. But Mitchell Trubisky hasn't played himself out of it. I'd make the case that Mason Rudolph didn't play his way out of the number two job. But Kenny Pickett did everything they expected him to do, and clearly we knew going in that Kenny Pickett was part of their future plans and Mason Rudolph wasn't. So it shouldn't be that surprising, in theory.
I'm a little bit worried that the second that Mitchell Trubisky does something wrong, fans are going to turn so hard.
Oh, God. They're already turning.
And they're going to be tweeting, oh, no, Kenny Pickett time. Like, if he throws one interception, they're all going to turn on. And he's, like, I don't know what the record has to be for them to go, okay, this guy is definitely going to be the starter. If they're 6-0, are they still going to try and find a way to get Kenny Pickett as the quarterback?
Greg, they're already turning on Mitchell Trubisky because people are saying that Trubisky hasn't done enough in the preseason.
I mean, what's he's supposed to do?
He's also played, like, what, 5 or 6 series?
Right, exactly. He hasn't had much time to show off that much anyway. And in the game against Jacksonville, he was running for his life.
He was running for his life. They did the right thing getting him out. I'm surprised they didn't get him out sooner.
Right.
To be honest with you.
He could have gotten sacked 3 times in one drive if he didn't escape.
Between guys getting just flat out whooped and penalties, and it was just, that first half was brutal to the point where during the film study earlier this week, Mike Tomlin tore into the offensive line. Here's the part that I like about that. The offensive line owned it. They say, yeah, he should have tore into us. We were bad. I mean, to a man. Kendrick Green was like, look, I didn't play well. I needed to hear it. And you hear other guys like Mason Cole and James Daniels saying, yeah, there were different plays where individual guys were just not getting it done. And he was like, it was each of us on whatever play. So, you know, it was something that we needed to hear, which I like. I like the fact that the offensive line responded in kind. It said, yeah, the coach was right. We were terrible and we need to be better.
No, they were absolutely terrible. And I couldn't agree more than it's good that they did own it up. Another thing that I brought up, and I said this, I tweeted this during the fourth quarter. When Rudolph was in the game, the Steelers were losing. He was doing third down checkdowns, and it was making them punt. I was like, can this guy please just throw the ball? Like, show us what you got. You were complaining that you weren't getting first team reps this week. You're going up against their third stringers. Please show us something.
Yeah, you got to perform.
And he did just that in that final drive, put together a great drive, put together a touchdown on fourth and goal on the 1 yard line on a nice out route for a touchdown. And they go on and win the game. The defense makes a couple of plays, a huge interception by Justin Lane because
very huge.
Jacksonville felt the need to throw the ball when they were already in field goal range. Thank you very much. We'll take that all day. It was incredible. I can't believe they did that.
All they had to do
was run the ball.
Was run the ball and kick the field goal. They could have put the game away.
I couldn't believe
they did
that. Because
they were up by five, weren't they?
It was 15-10. Yeah.
Yeah, they're up by five.
They kick a field goal, they're up by eight. All you can do is play for a tie.
And they have to go the length of the field and get two to tie you.
Instead, they throw an interception. Lane returns it to the 45-yard line. The Steelers go 55 yards and win the game.
Yeah.
And then the defense makes a couple of big stops on that final drive. There was a pass play that they knocked them backwards, and it forced a 57-yard field goal. I mean, Jacksonville has proven in the preseason, in the second half, they collapse miserably. And I'm sitting here like, man, 10 points right now against this team that collapses miserably? I mean, they've been getting outscored by a lot in the second half in their two preseason games already. And the Steelers haven't done anything in the second half. And then Justin Lane gets the interception. I'm like, here we go. This is it right here. Rudolph has to put a drive together to give us some kind of hope that, hey, it can be an okay guy if you need him to be.
Here's something I'm going to point out, because I know, A, this is something that's probably going to piss some people off, and I don't care. B,
that's what we do on this show. We tell the truth.
This is actually true. Yes, we saw quarterbacks lead game-winning drives in each of these first two games, right? Now, yes, I know it's the preseason. I know it's hard to put stock in it in any kind of, you know, significant quotient. That's fine. However, both of those game-winning drives were preceded by turnovers earned by the defense. Mark Robinson in the first game, and then Justin Lane in the second one, both to set up potential game-winning drives for the offense.
Right.
That's the thing that I think gets massively overlooked. I think it gets massively overlooked that Mark Robinson had that sack on Drew Lock to set up Tuzar Skipper to recover the fumble that set up Kenny Pickett's touchdown pass to Tyler Vaughns. I think it gets massively overlooked that Justin Lane made that play, in which I agree with you, is a boneheaded call by Jacksonville, trying to throw the ball down the field when you're up by five and trying to get into field goal range, to set up Mason Rudolph throwing to Tyler Snead for a game-winning touchdown pass. I think that's one thing that kind of gets left out. This is something that I want to see from this team happen more and more often. You know what it reminds me of, actually? The past two preseason games and what we saw in that fourth quarter reminds me a lot of the 2019 season, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and even last year, there were times that the defense came up in the game against Seattle in the regular season.
Yep.
T.J. Watt comes in, strip sack, Steelers recover the ball, they put the game away.
Yep.
I mean, the defense makes a big play, the offense rewards them by putting points on the board and winning a game. They probably should have done that against the Chargers, but they didn't do anything with it instead of getting a field goal.
Defense got the ball on a fourth down stop on the Chargers' own side of the field. I don't care what you tell me. I am not sold on Staley as a head coach. I'm not.
No.
When you do something like that, when the other team, all they have to do is pretty much get in the field goal range and they can beat you, granted, that's exactly what they did because they went 3-and-out after getting the ball. But you go for it on fourth down on that side of the field that late in the game.
And you should have lost.
And you should have lost.
But you didn't.
Well, partially because Najee Harris got knocked out of the game. But at the same time,
yeah,
offense couldn't move the football. And
right,
that's a problem. Especially when the defense got you stop after stop after stop after stopping that second half
of
that game.
That was a depleted Steelers team, too. A lot of guys were out that game.
No Minka Fitzpatrick in that game. And the defense still got you stop after stop after stop. And they got a couple turnovers, too. They did what they could in that game. And some guys that you normally don't expect to made plays in that game. I want to say Cam Sutton got a pick in that game that was really pivotal. And it all leads to this one thing I'm going to keep bringing up, because people keep saying, oh, the defense was the problem last season. I'm going to bring this up again. 10 times last season, the defense gave up 20 points or less. Yes, there's a game that someone's going to say, well, they also had, there was 27 points scored. Yeah, 7 of those points by Chicago were special teams touchdowns. So the point stands. There were 10 times last season where the defense specifically allowed 20 points or less. And when that happened, the Steelers did not lose. They were literally 9-0-1 when the defensive unit allowed 20 points or fewer in a game last season. And then we see them this season. Now, granted, yes, it's the third teamers, if you will. But again, this preseason, big turnover sets up game-winning drive. I can't argue with that. That's exactly what they want. It feels a lot like 2019, where once again, the defense was holding a lot of teams at 20 points or less, and they were winning the turnover battle, and they were beating teams. I'm going to bring this up again. 29-17-1 in the last 46 regular season games since Ben Roethlisberger injured his elbow against Seattle. And a lot of that is because the defense can keep teams under 20 points and give the offense a shot to win.
To your point about 2019, that was with Duck and Rudolph. They still finished above 500. I've heard
they were 8-6 in those 14 games.
I've heard people this season go, the Steelers have no shot at the over 7.5 that Vegas is putting out there.
What team are you watching?
I said, if they can win, have a regular season winning record or 500 with Duck and Rudolph, you're telling me they can't win with Mitchell Trubisky / Kenny Pickett and the defense they have this year?
If they can go 9-7-1 with the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger's elbow. They made the playoffs last year.
They made the playoffs with that team.
With the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger's elbow and a worse offensive line than the one they have now.
Which is just scary.
And you don't think they can win 8 games?
You think last year's will end up being worse than this year's? But I know it's only been 2 games, but they look miserable.
Yeah. Kendrick Green at center was still worse than him at guard.
Yeah, this is true.
Kendrick Green at center was a disaster.
It was.
Just imagine if this offense, I'm going to say this again. Just imagine that this offensive line becomes average.
Be a lot better.
An average offensive line this season will make this offense 10 times better.
Najee was already good last year. Imagine if he actually had a good offensive line and he was that good.
He led the league in touches with a bad offensive line.
Right.
And still ran for over 1,000 yards and caught, 70-some-odd passes with that terrible offensive line? Imagine what he does with a good one.
I know. And he had Ben, who wanted to throw the ball every play.
The ghost of Ben Roethlisberger's elbow. It really stands to reason that if you think the offense is going to carry this team, you were creating unrealistic expectations from the get-go. Because I keep telling people, it's going to be about defense running the football and winning the turnover margin. Because that's what wins a lot of games in this league.
To me, it's can the defense overcome last year's problems, which was can they stop the run?
And can they be healthy for the whole season up front?
If they can stop the run and stay healthy, this is going to be a top 3 defense in the AFC and a top 5 defense in the NFL.
And honestly, they don't even need to be top 3 or top 5 just to be effective.
No.
They don't need to be that great.
They have so many playmakers. You've got TJ, Cam. You added Miles Jack, who was a huge addition. Alex Highsmith, Minka. I mean, this is a great defense.
DeMonte KZ, who I will continue to say gets really not as much recognition as he should. DeMonte KZ is a very responsible and very, very keen and smart player. He just continues to make plays around the ball that he doesn't get credit for.
Do you think he gets a hat?
DeMonte KZ is going to get a hat because he'll be in the sub package. He's going to be in the sub package. They signed him specifically.
Well, he'll be a starter.
I don't know if he'll be a starter, but he'll be either in the slot in the sub package or maybe he'll be that third safety.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have him on the field. Here's what I expect them to do. When they go to the dime, I expect KZ to be the 2 deep safety with Minka Fitzpatrick, and they'll bring Terrell Edmonds up to the line.
Oh, I like that a lot.
I expect them to do that because KZ can make plays around the ball. Now you got him and Minka deep in coverage. Which guy are you going to try to beat? Because you got Minka Fitzpatrick, who's one of the more ball-hawking safeties in the league. Then KZ, who led the league in interceptions 1 year in Dallas as a safety. That's a problem on defense. I think those guys are going to be better at pass coverage than people are giving them credit for. And a lot of that's going to have to do with DeMonte KZ, for one. I think a lot of it's going to have to do with what Levi Wallace can do and what Akella Witherspoon can do and how legit Cam Sutton is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not counting Arthur Maulet, who also has been a quiet playmaker pretty much since he's been in Pittsburgh and it doesn't get talked about.
A lot of guys have looked pretty good in the preseason on defense. I mean, there aren't many that other than Devin Bush and Robert Spillane. Those two, they need to show me something this week.
I'd say there's some guys on the defensive line that probably need to show and prove too. I know the jury's still out for a lot of people on Tyson Alualu. I think they'll be fine. I think Alualu, Larry Ogunjobi, and Cam Hayward, whom we still haven't seen yet, I think those three will be fine. But if one of those three gets hurt, they might have some problems. I mean, as far as the backups go, Chris Wormley, I thought, did everything he could have done and then some last season. Like, he did beyond yeoman's work. Montrevious Adams being in some kind of rotation in this group makes me excited because I love his energy and his motor. Mm-hmm. I think he fits in perfectly with this group. But I'm wondering, if those two guys have to be forced into starting duty again, does that group get exposed? If the starting three guys don't remain healthy, does it become a bigger problem? And I feel like it might.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. What are you looking for this week on Sunday?
I'm curious to see who they play as far as the quarterbacks. Is it just going to be Rudolph and Pickett? Because I see no reason to play Trubisky unless you're using... Here's the weird part. Because when there were four preseason games, the third game was always the dress rehearsal game.
Right.
You got the first teamers out there. You were going to probably run plays that you see them run during the regular season. They wanted to see if they can get some cohesiveness and get everybody out there in a situation where they weren't playing just a couple series. Maybe they play a quarter. Maybe they play a quarter and you know, into the second quarter. I thought that would be the expectation. But now with just three games, do you still do the dress rehearsal type deal? Does it last that long, or is it only for maybe another series or two like we've seen the first couple games with Mitchell Trubisky? I'm curious about that. Kenny Pickett's probably going to get some run. I imagine he'll get run with the twos and maybe even the ones. We'll see what they do with Trubisky, if they even decide to play Trubisky that long at all. And then Mason Rudolph's going to be a guy that comes in and they try to clean up again. Now, I keep coming back to this. I think them letting Chris Oladokun walk, I think they can still come back to him because, and this is my theory, you give Mason Rudolph some understanding against the Lions here where he's got to come back and try to put more on tape because there's teams that need backup quarterbacks.
And the Lions are one of them.
The Lions are one of them. So if he puts some stuff on tape here, I wouldn't be surprised if a trade comes around in the next week and a half. It wouldn't shock me at all.
I need to see Devin Bush and Robert Spillane do something productive.
The thing that scares me about those two is that neither guy is capable of doing both of the things this team needs. One guy can cover, the other guy can stop the run. So what happens with the team across from you does the opposite of the guy that's in there?
You're screwed.
You're in trouble. And it's I said this during the post-game sports call last week. He who chases two rabbits catches none. They need one guy. Like the two dogs, one bone dynamic from Mike Tomlin. Well, neither dog is really grasping the bone right now.
Right.
That's a problem for me. I really thought a healthy Devin Bush would look better. I don't think he's looked worse, but I haven't seen any improvement. He just looks exactly the same.
I've been going through the Steelers 2019 season on YouTube. The plays that he made and how explosive he looked before his injury, you're like, okay, there's a reason they traded up and got this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But after he got injured, he turned into a completely different guy, and he's still playing like that right now.
He was third in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. Or defensive
right.
rookie of the year voting.
He was really good that year.
Yeah, third in defensive rookie of the year voting. So it wasn't like it was empty, like empty platitudes, empty stats here. He played that well. And that 2019 defense was really damn good.
I know.
Really good. That was the top five defense in the league in both points and yards. Probably part of the reason why they went 8-16 with Mason Rudolph and Doug Hodges, too. They had a lot to do with it. So if you can find a way to bring that guy back, and I don't think that guy's in there.
So what do they do? They don't really have an option.
They really don't.
They're screwed either way. You put Spillane in, he can't do the one thing. You put Bush in, he can't do the other thing.
And I don't know if trading for Roquan Smith is an option yet.
I don't think it is.
I think
it would have already happened by now if they were actually going
to
get him.
Well, here's the problem. You got to give up probably a pick or two and a player to get a guy like Roquan Smith. And you have to sign him.
And you can't talk to him because of the whole agent situation.
Right. So like, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of mountains that got to be moved just to pull that trade off.
Well, are there any free agents out there they could get other than Devin Bush or Robert Spillane? Can they find somebody?
Well, there is one name out there that our buddy Mark Cabali's put out there.
Who?
Trey Flowers, Woo Pig Suey.
Oh, yes. We talked about that yesterday.
Former Lion and New England Patriot, Trey Flowers. And if it happens, you will know, Greg, because you will get like 4 text messages from me just saying Woo Pig. That's all they will say, and you will know.
Just send me the meme of the girl yelling at the kid, and I'll know what you're talking about.
Yep. Yep.
Because I'm getting tired of this project. This defense is too good to have this kind of loophole where the offense goes, all right, Spillane's out there. We're going to beat him with our running back or our tight end. Okay, Devin Bush is out here now. We're going to run the ball right at him, and he's not going to be able to stop us. Like, that's a problem. This defense is too good to have that kind of problem.
What in the name of Peyton Manning do people think is going to happen when they see a quarterback come to the line and see that alignment? They're going to make a check at the line every time, because that's what I would do. I would make a check at the line every time.
You don't think Brady's going to see that and go, hey, whoever their tight end is now, is it Kyle Rudolph? I think it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, you got Spillane on you? Post route.
Yeah.
I got you.
It's over. It's over. Good quarterbacks are going to pick those guys apart. And it's just, that's the part that scares me. I don't know what the solution is. I really don't. And it's, I didn't think I'd have to have this part of the discussion. I thought one guy would separate himself, and I thought that guy could have been Devin Bush, and he hasn't.
The fact that Spillane's even competing right now for the spot is terrifying.
That says a lot. And it also justifies the Steelers not picking up Devin Bush's fifth-year option. It justifies
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's not the same guy that they drafted. We just talked about that. Can he kind of be that guy? I don't think he can. It seems to me that guy's gone.
It's not even the fact that guy's gone. It just feels like between the guy he is now and the guy he was 3 years ago, it feels like there's such a large gap in between. I don't think he can make it up.
He's not that guy that you would have moved up and traded for if you knew he would be this guy.
I don't think this is one of those, okay, let's make a couple adjustments and subtle tweaks and he'll figure it out. No, there's a great gulf fixed there between 2022 Devin Bush and 2019 Devin Bush. You're not the same dude.
All right. Is that all we got for this one? For Lions Steelers? Anything else you want to talk about?
The running backs, really. I mean, who comes out of this as number two? That's really the only remaining question I have. Who comes out as the number two running back?
I really want to see Jaylen Warren get it.
I like Jaylen Warren.
Because I think, I don't know, man, but I just don't think Benny Snell is the guy.
I think Benny Snell is trying to do what it takes to be the guy. And I like that. I admire that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of options here. Jaylen Warren is an option. Anthony McFarland has made himself into an option.
I really like him on kick return. He's explosive.
Yeah, and when's the last time they've had a kick returner that was that explosive and that good?
Antoine Randall.
Either him or Antonio Brown, really. Yeah. Like Antonio Brown's rookie season, he was a really good kick return, punt returner.
When he kicked a dude in the face.
When he ninja kicked the Browns punter. I want to say, I'm trying to remember when that happened. I want to say there was somebody who created like a dub video, and it was from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's like, ninja kicked the damn rabbit. You see Antonio Brown just like kick the punter. I wish I could find that video. It was so good. If you're a TMNT fan, you know.
I actually really liked Master Teague in week one of the preseason.
I did too.
He's and a bulldozer.
Then he got hurt.
He got hurt.
And that sucks for him because I thought he was really, really impressive in a little bit of time that he got. But, I mean, if you're looking at the thought of Benny Snell, Jaylen Warren, Anthony McFarland, if those are your three guys behind Najee with Derek Watt as your fifth guy, I'm okay with that.
You think Watt over Hayward?
Hayward's going to be listed as a tight end. So that's not even
the
discussion.
Oh, he's not going to be fullback.
I mean, I think they'll put him at H-back occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be an H-back because he's already running with the ones at H-back. And that's going to be a personnel thing that Matt Canada goes by as far as like down and distance. But the three tight ends are going to be Freiermuth, Gentry, and Hayward. I think that's going to be the three because he's gotten a lot of time at tight end.
Are we going to finally see fullback on the field now that Ben's gone?
You'll probably see it in the form of Connor Hayward as the H-back. I think that's what it's going to be. And I think it'll come in different situations. Sometimes it'll look like a two tight end. Sometimes it'll look like a 21 personnel. But I think that's what it's going to be.
I mean, when they run the ball up the middle and they score a touchdown because the fullback was on the field, I'm going to just text you and say, why didn't they do this all along?
Well, we know why they didn't do it all along.
I know.
We know why.
But it's just stupid. The fullback is out there to help create a hole for the running back.
If you saw the first 7 or 8 games, or the first 10 games of the 2020 season, and saw what this offense did, and then questioned the remaining 5 games, then you were paying attention. If you didn't question the last 5 games after seeing the first 10 and a half, I don't know what you were watching. What were you paying attention to?
Right.
Because the thing of the matter is, those first 10 or 11 games of that 2020 season, the offense was efficient. They were scoring points. They were running the football. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have to do a ton. His job was easy by comparison. He didn't have to try to do the whole thing by himself. Then all of a sudden, they just opted for him doing the whole thing by himself.
He was like, I want to be the guy.
A year off of elbow surgery, they just opt to make that guy do everything by himself. It made no sense to me. Zero.
They were 11-0 that year. That team was 11-0.
And
they changed everything up.
And he tried to blow that Tennessee game. I don't mean he tried it on purpose, but the way he played the second half, he damn sure gave Tennessee that game back. And if Steven Gostkowski doesn't miss a field goal attempt, that game probably goes to overtime and the Titans probably beat him in Tennessee.
And if Spillane doesn't put his head right into Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That was a huge play, too.
A lot of things had to happen in that game. Well, I think that was the year after, but it was like a lot of things had to happen, which, by the way, they managed to steal 2 games from the Titans that they had no business winning.
In back-to-back seasons.
In back-to-back seasons. They had no business winning in Nashville because Ben gave the second half away. They had no business beating them last season.
I agree.
No business beating that team. And they still beat them.
Yeah, it's Ryan Tannehill.
Here's the more important thing. It's also Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
There's that, too. But you look at some of these rankings where people have for coaches, and somehow Mike Vrabel is above Mike Tomlin. Did you see the playoff game last year that they lost? You're still putting Mike Vrabel above Mike Tomlin? People, please. Bye. Here's what we'll do. Let's take a break. We'll do the preseason NFL stuff after this break, and then we'll play our favorite news headline game, Is This a Thing? You're listening to the Sunday Morning Grind podcast, a show where we talk about sports both on the Pittsburgh level locally, but also around the sporting world as well. We have a little fun with it, by the way, too. You can download the Sunday Morning Grind on iTunes, Google Podcast, Anchor, or Spotify. Basically, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Now let's get back to the show.
This is not becoming a thing. No, this is not a thing. I'm pretty sure it's a thing. It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
We'll go with it.
Make it a thing.
Oh, it's a thing now.
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Love that.
Oh, perfect.
Everyone loves a little more flavor. Nobody wants vanilla.
What are the big three?
What big three?
The big three.
What big three?
Androids, aliens, and wizards.
That's not a thing.
That's definitely a thing.
No, it's not.
Every time we fight one of the three.
So who are you fighting now, Gandalf?
How do you know about Gandalf?
I read The Hobbit in 1937 when it first came out.
So you see my point?
No, I don't.
And pose the question, how is this not a thing? Because while there are many things in this world that should no longer be things, there are also many non-things that should absolutely be thingified, brought into the thing-sistence, if you will. You know, like an all-dog version of the Blue Man Group. Or, exactly. What? How is that not a thing?
You hear the music? We did the drop. It's time for our favorite news headline game. We're going to do this first before we get to the NFL season preview because it's going to be a little bit of a limited version, but we wanted to get a little bit in and play Is This a Thing? I got a list of maybe 4 or 5 topics here. Let's see how well we do getting this along as far as, you know, trying to get this in for a shortened version.
It's you and me, so you never know.
Exactly. We got a handful of baseball things to talk about, so let's get to those first. And the fourth thing I have, I'm going to knock this one down a little bit on the list because this kind of is interesting to me and intriguing. So we'll discuss.
All right.
Let's start with baseball. I want to say this happened at a baseball game, if I'm not mistaken. You brought this to my attention earlier in the week, and it was something that I thought I would never see in a million years. A fan in the stands.
This was Yankees-Mets.
A fan using a hot dog as a straw. I didn't know such a thing was possible, Greg.
Oh, that's so gross.
a hot dog as a straw. Craig, is this
no,
a thing?
No, no.
You even let me get the sentence out.
No.
Is this better or worse than the guy dunking his hot dog in beer?
Oh, it's such a bad combo.
Like that's.
I think it might be better than dunking your hot dog in beer.
So you'll take the hot dog as a straw over dunking your hot dog in beer.
I mean, I don't drink beer and I don't really eat hot dogs, so I don't really have to be put in this situation. But if I was put in this situation, yes.
I see neither as an entertaining mix. That's why I asked this question, because that's one of those would you rather. Would you rather use a hot dog as a straw, or would you rather dunk your hot dog in beer?
I would rather jump off cliff.
I know quite a few people that would probably dunk their hot dog in beer.
Yes, they would.
But it would have to be a certain kind of beer. Like a flavored beer, it might work. Maybe.
I mean, I see Joey Chestnut dunk his hot dog in water, and it makes me want to throw up. Like, that's disgusting.
And he really does that with a purpose, because it makes the bun softer.
I know, but that's a terrible combo. It takes the whole entire flavor out and just makes it gross.
Yeah, a soggy beer-flavored hot dog.
Not to get too far off topic. This is still in regards to weird combos. Okay. I'm already going there.
All right. It's just a thing. It's time to get crazy.
What are your thoughts on a burger on a donut? Are you yay or nay on that? Have you ever tried it?
I'll try most things once. I will try a burger on a donut.
Have you ever tried it?
I haven't, okay. But I would.
See, I feel like that's such a bad combo. It's two glazed donuts with a cheeseburger.
What's on the cheeseburger?
Just bacon.
If it's Applewood smoked bacon,
I think that's what it would be.
I would try that.
Okay.
I'd be curious just to see how that goes.
I just don't love that combo. That's a rough combo.
It's one of those things that's like, it sounds weird at first, and then you try it, you're like, hey, this isn't too bad. Which wouldn't be the first time I've tried things that I thought were weird and ended up not being too bad. We'll leave it at that. But yeah, I would try that.
Okay.
I would totally try that. Yeah, I don't think this is a thing, by the way.
It's absolutely disgusting.
Hot dog as a straw is not a thing.
The sad part is Yankees Mets was a great Subway series, and this is the talk of the town today on MLB Network.
It was. Hot dog as a straw was the lasting impression of the Subway series. Both of these teams could be in the thick of the postseason. That's terrible. That's dereliction of duty. All right. Speaking of things in baseball that are totally screwed up. There have been reports, and this is one of those things that I look at and say, wait a minute, what in the world? Why is this happening now? But it's something that I think we need to talk about. This is according to The Athletic, who had a story, I believe this came out on Wednesday, with the headline, Angels owner Artie Moreno exploring potential sale of the team. My question to you, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
After the Angels have already fired Joe Madden like 2 months into the season, after they get to the trade deadline and have the opportunity to unload Shohei Ohtani and fail to do so when he's coming up on what's going to be a massive contract extension that maybe three teams in the entire league can afford, and a pretty much admitted failure by the GM of getting this team to get anything out of the Mike Trout era. My question to you, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim completely and unilaterally botching the Mike Trout era, is this a thing?
They have zero playoff wins with that guy on that team?
The one playoff series they were in, they were swept.
There's your answer right there. Here's my question. Who actually wants this job? Who wants to take on this team right now?
That's a good question.
I get it. Ben Cherington took on the Pirates.
Well, to be fair, owners don't buy teams to win games.
True.
Owners buy teams for two reasons.
To make money.
One, to make money. And two, for the same reason dogs lick themselves. Because they can. So
you think somebody will want to buy the Angels?
Oh, you'd be crazy not to. If you could figure out what to do with a team that's actually in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
and can be profitable. I don't think the Angels have ever had an issue with making money. It's just you got to figure out who your baseball operations people are going to be and if they can fix this problem. Because you got a major league team that doesn't have enough talent on it or enough pitching. You got a minor league system that's bereft of both. And you got two stars, two once in a generation, if you're Shohei Ohtani, probably once in like five generations superstars that you can't put anything around.
Can they hire you?
I'd love to own the Angels.
I know.
I mean, I can't afford all of it. I could put some on it.
Well, even if you're not owner, can they bring you on in like scouting or something? Because you got to know more than what they currently have.
Here would be the cool thing. If I could call the Angels, I can call Artie Moreno and say, look, I'd like to buy the team from you. And like, give me your offer. It gives me an offer of how much it costs. And I'll say, you know what? I can't meet that offer. But if you find a way to make this deal work and sell me the team, I will bring kids in pitching. Watch Artie Moreno say yes. Who says no? Who says no? I mean, look, I'm not going to lie about this. There's been a bit of a change in me philosophically and ideologically in the past couple of years. I have tried to adopt more of an entrepreneurial spirit that I hope will, you know, bear fruit in the coming days. And I'll make that announcement when the time comes. But don't get me wrong. I think it'd be cool to be an owner of a professional team.
Of course it would.
I mean, if I could put a group together, I'd buy the Astros, but I'm not there. I'm not at that stage of my entrepreneurial career yet. But if the time comes, if the time ever came and I got the opportunity, what are you going to bring as new owner of this franchise?
Three words.
Kids and pitching. That is what I'll bring. Oh, but this is definitely a thing, by the way.
Yeah, they're going to burn it down like Seth Rollins, like the Rangers are trying to do.
The Rangers are burning it down, Seth Rollins style. Like, wow, they're burning it down.
And the Angels have needed to do that for a while, and they're finally catching up to it.
This was their year to burn it down.
They should have. They traded everybody around Ohtani, not named Mike Trout, mm-hmm. but they didn't trade Ohtani.
And they didn't bring anything back to build around Ohtani and Trout.
No.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm never going to get excited again after a month of baseball when they're in first place. And I go, maybe this is the year Mike Trout makes the playoffs again, because they will find a way to just completely screw it up. All right, we got to move on.
I hate to say this is one of those times where I'm like, yeah, told you so. Because we're still the Angels. All right, the third baseball topic we have here, because we got four. Our third baseball topic, and this is something you and I discussed off air within the past couple days. And I actually started this discussion in the form of a question. And it kind of, you know, spurred the rest of the discussion. And my question to you was, hey, remember way back when the Brewers were in first place? And I said the Cardinals have yet to be cardinally yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they could probably make a run and win the division.
Yep.
Well, as it sits here at the time of this recording, the St. Louis Cardinals are 71-52. 5.5 game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers in first place in the NL Central, and they've won 9 of their last 10 with a plus 121 run differential. That is by far the best in the division by nearly 100 runs over the Milwaukee Brewers. My question to you, Greg, the Cardinals, being cardinally at the absolute perfect time of the season, is this a thing?
They took full advantage of the trade deadline by adding two left-handed starters, which they needed to boost their rotation because Steven Matz was out and they haven't had Jack Flaherty all year. So they went and got Quintana, and they got Mike Montgomery from the Yankees, or Jordan Montgomery. And Montgomery's got a 0.36 ERA in 4 starts. Quintana's been solid. Wainwright has found the fountain of youth at almost the age of 40.
He really has.
Albert Pujols has found the fountain of youth right now. I mean, yeah, they've gone full-blown cardinally, and we knew it was coming because the Brewers didn't have the team to be able to sustain their lead, and then they traded Josh Hader to the Padres, which completely destroyed any morale they had in that clubhouse because everybody on that team was like, I can't believe we traded Josh Hader. I mean, they were mind blown that they traded Josh Hader.
That plus 121 run differential I told you about?
Yep.
It's now the fourth best in the National League.
Because the Dodgers and the Mets are ahead.
Let's talk about the two most ridiculous run differentials in baseball right now.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Dodgers
plus 269.
And the Yankees?
Plus 188.
Yep. Where's Atlanta?
Atlanta, plus 135. They are third. No, they're second behind the Dodgers in the National League.
Okay.
The team that is third at plus 122.
The Mets.
Your beloved Mets.
Not enough runs.
Need more runs. They're either going to need more runs or they're going to need Schilling and DeGrom to be completely out of their minds.
So, Schilling? Scherzer.
Scherzer. Good Lord. Man, I'm getting old.
Follow-up question. Do the Cardinals have what it takes to win a World Series this season?
They have the offense to do it. I think they've picked up two starting pitchers. I think they're good enough to get there. They have put together a team that could beat the Dodgers in a National League Championship Series. Not to mention the fact that they have a history, a repeated history, of beating the Dodgers in the playoffs.
Yeah, they own Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and look it up. The Cardinals beating the Dodgers during the playoffs, it's freaking clockwork. Like, it happens quite a bit. So, can they win the World Series? I'm not sure. Can they get there at the very least? I think so. I think they could get there. I think they could come out of the National League. The only team that I can see giving the Cardinals a hard time in the National League to get out of there is probably Atlanta. I can see Atlanta giving them problems. The Dodgers against the Cardinals doesn't scare me. They don't scare me as much because they've dealt with that team enough in the past that it's going to feel like autopilot to them. Atlanta's the one team I can see out of the National League that could be a problem. And that's for anybody involved, really.
Atlanta scares me a ton. They're red hot. Here's the other thing. They're playing the Cardinals this weekend.
Yep.
That's a big series.
It's a huge series.
The Braves are playing the Cardinals. The Mets are playing the Rockies. The Mets have a 1.5 game lead right now in that division.
And the Mets have no excuse to not have the lead in division after this weekend's over. None whatsoever.
Yeah, but then the Dodgers come to town and things get ugly.
Well, that's an entirely different story. That's different. But, I mean,
it's a four-game series with the Rockies. They have to win 3 out of 4 at the very least.
Got
to
win 3. I agree. You got to win 3. You win 3, you hold your lead in the division.
DeGrom pitches Thursday. Bassett pitches Friday. You have to win both of those.
You got
to
win both.
Don't know who's pitching Saturday or Sunday. But
you gotta win those
The Braves are playing the Cardinals, and I'm pretty sure it's at Busch. If the Cardinals can take care of business with Atlanta, the Mets can get back to a 4-game lead.
Yeah.
And it's not over yet.
And if you're the Mets, you got to wrap it up in that series because you don't know what's going to happen with the Cardinals in Atlanta. That might be the best series of the weekend.
Oh, it's 100% the best series of the weekend because it's Sunday Night Baseball this weekend.
I don't know what's going to happen in that series. I couldn't even tell you. I'd have to look at the pitching matchups to really know for sure.
It's in St. Louis. Well, the Pirates unfortunately got the Braves like top three dudes this week.
Oh, and they just ran through.
Strider is pitching Friday against Quintana. Strider's been fun.
Yeah.
Young kid that just throws gas.
Talented kid.
I'm sure Morton's going to pitch one of these two games because he didn't pitch in the Pirates series. And there'll be one more guy that I just can't think of right now.
Sounds like the Braves have kids in pitching.
Yeah.
Just saying.
All right. Last topic.
to your point, before we let you go, I got to drop this in here because you mentioned the Braves coming with their top three dudes against the Pirates.
Okay.
The Braves beat the Pirates by a combined score of 22-4 in those three games.
The first game was 2-1.
Mm-hmm. The second game was 6-1. And the third was 14-2.
14-2.
22-4. To quote Nick Saban, they ran through the Pirates like crap through a tin horn. Like, unbelievable. All right,
didn't they manhandle them in Atlanta?
Oh, I believe they did, yeah. I believe they did. And everyone's like, oh, the Pirates are getting killed by the Braves. Am I the only person not shocked by this? They're the Braves.
I was shocked the Pirates only lost 2-1 to the Braves.
They're the defending World Series champion. And how many times over the past couple years have I been telling you I got a weird feeling about Atlanta?
A lot. Pirates lost 3-1, 4-2, and 10-4 in Atlanta.
There you go. Six in a row to the Braves.
They go 0-6 against the Braves, but they take 5 out of 6 against the Dodgers. Somebody make it make sense.
And you wonder why if I'm the Cardinals, I'm not afraid of the Dodgers. Just saying.
All right. Last topic here.
Last topic here for this, is this a thing? And this one is kind of interesting to me. Bryce James, youngest son of LeBron James.
Oh, yes.
Received his first official scholarship offer this past week.
He's 15 years old, by the way.
15 years old. And it's not the fact that Bryce James has received his first scholarship offer. That's not what makes this story interesting. And the fact that he's even getting scholarship offers at 15 are also what not make this story interesting. What makes the story interesting is the school he got the offer from. And imagine my surprise, Greg, when it is my own alma mater, the Duquesne Dukes, being the first institution to offer Bryce James a college basketball scholarship. Now, should this shock me, considering the fact that their head coach, Keith Dambrot, is the former St. Vincent St. Mary's high school coach of LeBron James? No, it shouldn't. However, Duquesne was still bold enough to be the first one to offer Bryce James a scholarship. Which leads to this question. Duquesne having a snowball's chance of landing Bryce James. Is this a thing?
Could you imagine if that actually...
No!
If that actually happened?
No, could not imagine.
All the Kentucky and Dukes of the world, they don't get LeBron's kid. Duquesne got LeBron's kid?
Greg, my brain cannot process. And now bear in mind, it's been, what, 4 seasons now I've been calling Duquesne games? My brain cannot process the thought of Duquesne signing Bryce James to a letter of intent. I can't wrap my mind around it.
I really want it to happen for one reason, and it's so you can walk over to LeBron and ask him, what's your favorite version of Carmelo Anthony? He'll go, wait a minute. How many are there? Like, oh, there's like 10.
There's Cornrow Mellow. There's Hoodie Mellow. There's Sleeves Mellow. There's the Lakers version, Mercenary Mellow. There's a lot of Mellows, man. A lot of Mellows. Headband Mellow.
I would lose my mind if you got to ask LeBron that question.
Is Olympic team Mellow a different kind of Mellow? Because he played differently when he was on the Olympic team.
He was way better on the Olympic team.
Olympic team Mellow is a thing. It's totally a thing.
Could you imagine if LeBron gets on a jet and flies to Pittsburgh to go watch his kid play at Duquesne games?
Oh, God. He already puts Duquesne over as it is. He loves putting Duquesne over. He loves putting Keith Dambrot over.
Is there any way he can influence his kid and be like, dude, like, Dambrot's the man. You should play for him. Is there any way?
Am I contractually obligated to say this is a thing since I call Duquesne games?
And you can do whatever you want.
Please, sweet baby Jesus, let this be a thing. My brain can't compute the possibility of this happening. But I really want this to be a thing.
I know, man.
I want it to be a thing. I don't think it's going to be a thing, but I want it to be a thing.
He's the ticket to them getting back to the tournament.
He better be, or Duquesne's just cursed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it just, if Bryce James can't get Duquesne in the tournament, then no one will. Like,
it's over.
Shout out to Keith Dambrot for offering LeBron's son, but man, I want it to be a thing. Well, I do.
You come back from your commercial break, like, we got LeBron James with us here on your telecast. Hey, LeBron, quick question for you. Can you guys get rid of Russ?
That would be the second question I ask him, yes.
But like, I will drive anyone you want to Los Angeles and pick up Russ and take him wherever I need to.
It wouldn't even be that kind of a question. It would just be like, LeBron, Russ? For real? Still? Russ?
Like, LeBron, I talk about you guys on my podcast, and you guys are Bruno.
Like, that Russ? For real? Like, really? I'm purple and gold for going on 30 years, man, but Russ? Really? I'd have questions. I'm not going to lie about it.
Your partner would be like, what is going on?
Oh, Ellis Cannon would be so confused. He'd be like, who's Russ? Ellis would also spend the entire game talking about how Bryce James played for Duquesne. He would come up with every possible LeBron story he could find. It would be fantastic. Like, if you've ever heard Ellis Cannon on the radio and how thorough Ellis is in his analysis of anything, he would spend the entire 40 minutes just talking about LeBron stories. It would be fantastic. I'd have the time of my life. Moving on, though.
This needs to happen. Even if it's not a thing, it needs to be a thing.
I'm looking toward the heaven right now with my hands folded in prayer, praying to God for this to be a thing.
So if he's 15, what do we got? 3 more years till we get a decision?
Got like 3 more years till we get the decision.
All right, so we'll come back in 2025 at this time, we'll know what he's doing.
This is 3 years worth of praying I have to do for this to be a thing. I got work to do. In the meantime, let's get to our NFL preview because we got to get to a few things here. Now, I know we want to talk about the postseason awards. Do we want to go division by division? Do we want to do that?
Let's do it.
All right, because let's take a look here.
We'll do our Steelers one in 2 weeks.
Okay, I like that idea. Plus, it gives us a little bit more time to really figure out because I still don't think we know what's going to happen with this roster.
Correct.
It's still hard to figure out. And the fact that the starting quarterback is somewhat in question, I personally don't believe it is, but for some people, like, it's really up in the air, and I'm trying to figure out why. But all the same, let's go division by division here. How about we just figure out, you want to just guess who wins? You want to guess the order that they finish?
We'll do order they finish in.
Okay.
Let me pull up my Google Doc so we can keep tally on this.
Yeah, because this could get crazy. This could get super weird really fast.
Oh, and it's always fun to go back at the end of the season and see how poorly we did.
Oh, yeah. It's good to go back and see how much we sucked. I agree. Totally agree with that. I'm trying to figure out which division we want to start with. Do you want to start AFC or NFC?
Let's start in the AFC.
Yeah, I'll save my NFC East bashing until later in the segment.
You know what? I'm just going to do it on my phone. I'll pull up the notes, and we'll just do it there. All right.
AFC East. I mean, this is easy, isn't it?
The AFC East. You want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
I think I'll just count to three, and we'll both say the same thing.
All right.
1, 2, 3.
Buffalo.
New England.
Miami.
Dolphins,
Jets.
Done. We'll do the AFC North last. AFC South.
Indianapolis will win the division.
Yes. Wait, you think Indy wins the division over Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They were a quarterback away from actually being good, and I think Matt Ryan is a lot better than Carson Wentz.
If only by default.
Right.
Wow. I'll give you this. Indy's got a really good defense, and they got a really good running back.
Correct.
I got to think about this. You might have swayed me. And not because of Matt Ryan, just the fact that you add Matt Ryan with a really reliable running game with Jonathan Taylor, whom I love. You know that.
As do I.
And an Indianapolis defense, which I also love. So, wow.
I know. I mean.
Okay, so you got Indy 1. Who else do
you know? I'm a Colts fan.
So let me guess. Indy 1.
Yep.
Tennessee 2. Jacksonville 3. Houston 4.
Yes.
Or Jacksonville flip a coin.
Because Urban Meyer's not there anymore, I'll take Jacksonville to go third.
It is Doug Peterson.
Right.
So
you got to watch out for Captain Neck, though. You know, I mean, he could just burn you once in a while.
Captain Neck is coming. He is coming for you. Look out, Jacksonville. Captain Neck's on the warpath.
I don't know. I just think Trevor Lawrence is the better quarterback over Captain Neck. So I think if you have a better quarterback,
once again, if only by default.
Yeah, Jacksonville by default.
Okay.
So what's your choice here?
I was going to say Tennessee, Indy, Jacksonville, Houston, but you're
don't let me have
my attention.
Don't let me sway you, man. I don't want to cause you points.
I'm going to stick with what I have for now.
You'll take the Titans?
I'll go with the Titans. I think I'm going to hate myself for this later.
Yes, you will, because they got rid of A.J. Brown, and Ryan Tannehill's still the quarterback. And Derrick Henry's not getting younger.
You're not wrong.
And they got Mike Vrabel as their coach.
Who's lost to Mike Tomlin each of the last two seasons. Yet someone has him ranked above Mike Tomlin. Don't start me.
What's your call here? Final answer.
Final answer? I don't want to just completely steal your answer.
Okay.
So I'll stick with Tennessee, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Houston.
All right.
And I'll let the chips fall what they may. Because that's a good pick by you, though. I like those picks. AFC West.
This one is going to shock people.
It may not shock me because I might be thinking the exact same thing you are.
Las Vegas Raiders win the division.
Whoa, I did not see that one coming. Wow.
I am a Devontae lover, and I think that him and Derek Carr light up this league.
Wow.
I just, It's just, that's just what I think.
I didn't have that one in my book. So you got the Raiders winning the division. How does it go behind them?
Chargers second.
You got the Chargers too.
Chargers second.
Over Russ and Mahomes.
Kansas City third.
You got Denver in last place.
Sure do.
So they gave up all those draft picks and all those guys to bring Russ in and still finish in last place.
It's still Denver.
Wow. Wow.
I kind of need to rethink this.
Man.
I don't know, man.
Here's what I got, and this one might be equally as shocking.
All right.
I got Denver one.
Oh, wow.
I got Vegas two.
You have Kansas City three, too.
I got Kansas City three.
Okay.
And I got the Chargers fourth.
Wow, we both have Kansas City falling off a cliff.
I don't trust Brandon Staley.
No, Kansas City, I'm saying.
I know, but like, I don't trust Brandon Staley, so I got the Chargers four. But yeah, well, here's the thing.
Pony is the Chargers winning the Super Bowl this year. Oh. That's a tough take.
So now I feel even better about exactly. them being in fourth place. I'm doubling down on the Chargers in fourth place now. Here's what I can see happening.
They did add Khalil Mack, though.
They did add Khalil Mack.
And they have pretty good secondary.
And they added J.C. Jackson.
Yeah.
Here's what I can see happening, though, as far as, like, the Raiders in Kansas City. I could see the second and third place teams finishing with the same record.
I could, too.
So whoever wins the division, you got to be in Vegas. I got it as Denver.
I think three teams out of this division make the playoffs.
You took the next thing out of my mouth.
Sorry.
I could see the first team winning the division, the next two having the same record, and all three teams in the playoffs. I totally agree with that. Because having seven teams, as far as the top three teams in the division, this is the best division right now.
Yes.
1-3, it's the AFC West. No one else is close.
I can't believe you have Denver winning it all.
I got Denver winning it all because A, they got Russ. B, they got a lot of young weapons. And C, they got a good defense.
You really think that Russ can just click with this offense and win the division in one season?
Better than Drew Lock can?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
They went 7-10 last season. Here's another crazy thought. Denver, whoever wins this division can win with 10 or 11 wins.
Yeah.
Because all these teams have to play each other.
Yeah, they're going to beat each other up.
Which is another reason why I see the Chargers finishing fourth. Because someone has to lose all these games. And do you see the Chargers winning more than three of these games? Facing Kansas City, Vegas, and Denver twice. I don't see them winning more than three.
I kind of do, man. I love Herbert and I love Eckler.
I love Justin Herbert too, but I can't see them. I cannot see this team beating the collective of Patrick Mahomes, Devontae and Derek Carr,
right,
and Russell Wilson more than three times. I can't see it.
Here's where I throw a question mark at Denver winning the division. It's right here. December to the end of the season.
Okay.
At Baltimore versus Kansas City versus the Cardinals, at the Rams, at the Chiefs versus the Chargers. That is a hard stretch of the final six games.
How many games is that? Six? I can see them on 3-3. I can see them splitting that.
They don't have a bad schedule to start. Seattle, Houston, 49ers.
They can win all three games.
At the Raiders, take on the Colts, at the Chargers, take on the Jets, at the Jags. They should win three of those.
They should be what? I'll make them what? 6-3 coming out of that? 6-3, 5-3?
Mm-hmm.
We can see that.
Week 9 bye week at Tennessee.
When?
Versus the Vegas.
At home against Vegas?
Yeah.
Vegas has to lose one. I'll say they win that one.
At the Panthers, they should win that.
They better win that one.
At the Ravens.
When?
Versus Kansas City.
Lose.
Versus the Cardinals.
Win.
At the Rams.
Lose.
At the Chiefs.
Lose.
Beat the Chargers. Or versus the Chargers.
Win.
That could win them the division then.
Telling you.
It'll be tight.
That's what, 10, 11 wins?
Yeah. It'll be tight, man.
It will be tight. So you got Vegas winning the division. I guess that's not crazy. I just thought you would pick Kansas City.
No Tyreek Hill. I don't trust them.
And we both have KC third.
Yep.
Wow.
Which is a huge mistake.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we say third as if it's a terrible thing. They're going to be third and make the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's Kansas City. We're used to them just being, you know, dominance incarnate of the NFL.
This is also true. But, like, I can imagine KC going 10-7, finishing in third place with a second, finishing tied for second place with another 10-17, whether it be Vegas or Denver, and making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that totally happening.
It could.
But we both have KC third. That is intriguing. All right, finally to round it out, AFC North.
I'll go Baltimore to win the division.
Whoa! Whoa!
I'll go Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Wow, Steelers in third.
Steelers in third. You?
Cincy went in the division.
Okay.
Steelers in second.
Ooh.
Baltimore third, Cleveland fourth.
Why Baltimore so far down? You just don't buy it?
They may already have injury issues on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson's still at quarterback, and I still don't know if that offense is making the most of his ability and the most of his talent.
That's fair.
And the defense will be good, but will the offense be able to score enough points? And who's he throwing the ball to?
All fair points.
I think their defense will keep them in a lot of games. But can they score enough?
You think Cincinnati takes this division by storm?
I don't think they take it by storm, but I think they win it.
Okay.
I think they'll take turns stomping Cleveland out. All three teams will. I could see Cincy going 4-2 in the division. I could see them sweeping Cleveland and splitting with Baltimore and the Steelers.
Okay.
I got them beating the Steelers week one, by the way.
Okay.
Because they're at home, and I don't think the Steelers will know what they are yet.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
All right, before we go to the NFC, do you want to change anything?
No, I'm good. I'm keeping them the way they are. I'm even keeping Tennessee first place in the South.
I want to make a change.
What are you changing?
I want to remove Baltimore from first place.
No, dude, are you changing it now?
Yep.
Wow. I might have swayed you.
You did.
Well, you swayed me with Indy winning.
I'm going to go Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland as well.
Oh, Greg. Go be bold. Be bold. Should have.
All right, I'll be bold. I'll take the Steelers to win.
Oh, my God. I didn't say go that bold. I mean, I got Tennessee winning first. This is bold.
You know what? No, I'm not going to do it.
Stick to your guns, man.
Baltimore. What am I doing?
If Baltimore wins a division, dude. That...
I'll look like a genius.
You did all the time during Hot Sheet. That's all I'm saying.
All right. We're at 34 minutes right now.
Are we ready to go to the NFC East?
Let's go to the NFC.
All right. Dallas wins the division again.
I'll take Dallas as well.
I got Philly 2.
Yep.
Washington 3 and the Giants 4. it's going to be repeat election.
Carson Wentz versus Daniel Jones.
In the toilet bowl. Like, oh, no.
So you're going to go Washington.
No,
and
I got
then,
Dallas. Oh, Washington and then Giants.
And then
yeah.
The Giants.
Yeah, I got Dallas, Philly, Washington, Giants. Literally the same order it was last season.
I'll go Dallas, Philadelphia, Giants, and Carson Wentz and the Washington
no,
Commanders.
No faith in Carson Wentz, eh?
I saw enough from him last year with the Colts that I don't want to watch him play football anymore.
Chase Young is also on the PUP list for Washington, so the first four games he doesn't play.
Ooh,
is that it?
Yikes.
I want to say it's the first four games he's on the PUP list, so there's
okay.
That.
Next
so
one.
You might be onto something there.
Do I really get points, though, for getting third and fourth place?
Not really. I mean, it really is, you know, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. So I guess it doesn't matter.
Okay.
NFC North. You want me to go first?
I'm torn, man. I don't think Green Bay is going to be that good.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. As far as boldness goes.
You don't like Green Bay either, do you?
Not the one in the division, I don't. But I also don't like Minnesota either.
Neither do I. But the problem is someone has to win the division.
Someone has to win the division.
It won't be Detroit, and it won't be Chicago.
It's going to be Green Bay by default,
yeah.
Just because it's been Green Bay by default like the last half decade.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Green Bay by default.
Okay.
Here's a good one. Lions in second place.
No way. What?
Lions in second place.
What?
Minnesota third, Chicago in last place.
Why? Why Detroit in second place? Please explain and show your work.
Because I don't expect Chicago, because Chicago's in full rebuild. Minnesota just feels like a team that is just missing too much. And I love Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I love some of the guys on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something missing there. I don't know if it's the Kirk Cousins factor. And I love Justin Jefferson. Love Justin Jefferson. There's just some stuff missing on that team I can't put my finger on. And the Lions, God help me, the Lions might bite just enough kneecaps to win 8 games and come in second place. Because here's the thing. Out of that division, I think only one team makes the playoffs, and it's Green Bay winning the division. I don't think anybody else from that division makes the playoffs.
All right, I'll give you mine. Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit.
So pretty much the same thing as last year.
Yep.
You got Detroit in last place over the Bears.
I do.
Wow.
The Lions will always be a joke to me until proven otherwise.
You ready to cry?
I mean, Justin Fields is a lot better than Jared Goff.
Are you ready to cry, though?
Yeah, I'm ready to cry, man.
That's going to be our favorite meme all season. All right, NFC South. This is interesting. Actually, I'm lying. It's not interesting. It's just, it's profound.
But which one are we on? The
NFC
South?
NFC South, yeah.
Oh, Tampa Bay.
Yep, I got them one.
I'll go New Orleans 2.
I got New Orleans 2. The last two were easy.
You think, who am I, Atlanta, and who's the other team?
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina.
Carolina 3, Atlanta 4 is what I got.
Yeah, they got Baker. Carolina, Atlanta. I agree.
Atlanta is
really bad.
At least they're in the right city because the Falcons feel like hot garbage to me. And Atlanta's warm enough.
They don't even have a stud receiver because he got pulled from the league.
You see where I'm going. Their best receiver is Kyle Pitts, and he's a tight end.
Yeah.
Like, Atlanta's going to bring the heat, and the Falcons will bring the garbage.
And then Mariota's their quarterback.
Mariota's their quarterback. Yeah. Desmond Ridder will probably be the starter by season's end.
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right.
Then there's the NFC West, a division that last year you picked 3 teams to win to make the playoffs.
I had all 4.
You had all 4 making the playoffs. I got 3 making the playoffs this year.
So do I. And I think we're going to end the same order. So
yep. Go for it.
Rams.
Yep.
49ers.
Yes.
Cardinals.
Yes.
And Seattle's probably going to be the worst team in football this year.
Agreed. Yeah, that's what I got. Even with Trey Lance starting, I think San Francisco finishes ahead of Arizona and makes the playoffs.
I don't buy the Cardinals hype anymore. I used to be all in on the Cardinals hype. But with DeAndre Hopkins out for 6 games, they're going to look lost.
Here's what I see the Cardinals doing. I see them doing an exact opposite of last season, starting the season slow and then getting hot to make the playoffs.
Okay.
As opposed to starting the season hot last year and then just falling off a cliff at the end of the season.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to postseason awards here.
All right.
We'll do MVP last. Offensive rookie of the year.
I'm going Pickens.
Dude.
That's who you're going with?
Yes. George Pickens. I think he's going to light it up. I'm very intrigued. This dude's dangerous. He's so dangerous. And this offense, I think, can be very intriguing at times. And I think George Pickens will make enough plays. Here's the crazy part. If George Pickens wins the Offensive Rookie of the Year, that means he played that well with this offense.
Uh-huh.
If he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, this team probably did well enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It strengthens my argument for the Steelers finishing in second.
Yeah, you're right.
Because if he's doing it, that means the offense was that good.
So Baltimore doesn't make the playoffs in your picture?
No.
Okay.
No.
Man, you're making me look like a bad Steelers fan because I don't have faith in them to make the playoffs.
It's honestly, here, you've heard what I've said about this. The defense is going to be good enough to keep them in games. Najee will run he'll run the ball well enough to close a couple games out. And whichever quarterback it is, whether it is Trubisky or Pickett, they'll make just enough plays. They'll probably won't win more than 9 or 10 games, which I think 10 games will be a freaking miracle, but I think it's possible.
All right.
And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if both the Steelers and Baltimore finished 9-8 and the Steelers somehow probably swept Baltimore and made the playoffs. That wouldn't shock me at all.
I'm changing mine. I'm going Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore,
wow.
Just like you are.
Wow.
That's it.
I can't believe it.
Not changing it anymore, though.
If it doesn't go that way, you can't blame me.
Oh, I won't.
Okay.
I will not.
So we agree on Offensive Rookie of the Year being George Pickens. Defensive Player of the Year.
I wanted to take Thibodeau, but I saw he got hurt.
He did.
In the preseason game. So I'm going to go with the Aiden Hutchinson.
I got Hutchinson, too.
which might help your case for the Lions finishing in second place.
It's one of the reasons why I like the Lions in second place. I think that defense is going to be really improved. And Jared Goff, remember, Jared Goff took the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So.
Missed pass interference call took them to the Super Bowl, but
you're
yes.
not wrong, but still, Jared Goff.
No, you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, we're tied on all of these so far.
Okay. What am I missing here? Offensive player of the year.
It's got to be a quarterback. I'm going to go Josh Allen. It was the same pick I had last year. Josh Allen.
Just because you have Josh Allen, I'm going to flip my offensive player of the year and MVP picks.
Okay.
I'm going to make my new offensive player of the year.
Yep.
Is Derek Carr.
I like it.
But only because I now have Josh.
He can feed Devontae.
I had him as my MVP because he was going to feed Devontae with Josh Allen's offensive player of the year. Now I'm flipping him. Give me Derek Carr's offensive player of the year and Josh Allen as MVP. Okay. I want to keep something a little bit different for us.
All right, defensive player of the year.
I've been back and forth on this. I just have this feeling it's not going to be Aaron Donald. I can't explain why, because it can't be Aaron Donald every year. And it wasn't Aaron Donald last year. Aaron Donald's going to be good. He'll get votes. And for some odd reason, I can't see T.J. Watt doing it. I can't see it being T.J. Watt.
Okay, so who's it going to be?
I wrote this down a few days ago. And I kept coming back to it. I'm like, no, because I see this team not finishing that high. Is it weird that I have Khalil Mack written down, but I have the Chargers in last place? Is that weird?
Yeah.
That feels weird. Because I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's Khalil Mack. But then I'm like, well, maybe it's still TJ. Like, I'm torn on this one. We'll cycle back to me. We'll circle back for mine. Because it feels weird picking Khalil Mack when I have the Chargers finishing in last place.
So you're not going to make a pick right now?
I'm going to think about it a little bit more. Who's your pick?
I had Aaron Donald written down, but it's kind of too easy.
It feels too easy to pick Aaron Donald.
You know what? I'm going to go.
Can I tell you who I thought you were going to pick?
Who?
I thought you were going to pick Von Miller.
It's not a bad choice.
A resurgent Von Miller in Buffalo. I thought that's who you were
going to pick. I'm going to go with Edmonds from Buffalo instead.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's
my pick.
That's impressive.
No, it's not. It's impressive. Probably way off.
I mean, it probably is, but still. I mean, I admire the gumption.
You got an answer?
I'll stick with no. No.
I'll stick with no.
I was wrong about not picking him last year. And he was my guy in his draft class, so I can't make that mistake twice. I think I picked Myles Garrett last year, and it was T.J. Watt.
Yep.
I'm picking Watt this year, and I'll probably be wrong, but I can't.
So you are going to take T.J.?
I can't ignore T.J. twice. He's my guy. I can't ignore T.J.
I had T.J. written down, and then I was like, you know, Aaron Donald is probably going to just, you know, storm the entire league like he always does.
It feels sacrilegious to not expect it to be Aaron Donald.
Right?
It just feels weird.
Kind of not fair. let's just, for the fun of it, see what, if I can find it, what the odds look like for this.
Okay.
If I can find Defensive Player of the Year. And I cannot. They've got most sacks, most tackles and assists, but they don't have Defensive Player
of the
Year.
Who do they have listed for most sacks?
T.J. Watt.
That strength is my case for TJ. I'm good.
And Roquan Smith for most tackles and assists. That's a weird one.
Oops.
Myles Garrett second. Nick Bosa third. Joey Bosa fourth. Chandler Jones. Robert Quinn.
See, I had the thought of insert Bosa brother here.
Yeah, so did I. But when you brought up the Khalil Mack thing, I was like, well, he's got the Chargers finishing so far down.
Yeah, it kind of eliminated Nick Bosa. And those two could probably get double-digit sacks. Maybe that's why they cancel each other out, though.
You know what? I'm going to stick with my gut. I'm going Donald.
Aaron Donald?
It's too easy, but I think that's who's going to win.
I'd never begrudge you for picking Aaron Donald.
Because he's dominance incarnate of the NFL.
Dominance incarnate.
Okay, so your MVP is Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Who in this league is going to light it up like him other than Derek Carr?
I can't argue it.
And since you picked Josh Allen for Offensive Player of the Year, it kind of makes more sense to me because Josh Allen will light the league up, and I think his team will go further than Derek Carr's does, so it makes more sense to pick Josh Allen for MVP.
We've ignored Aaron Rodgers both years that he won MVP. I am not taking Aaron Rodgers this year.
No.
I'm not doing it.
Nope. Me neither.
I'm taking Tom Brady.
Tom Brady wins another MVP.
He woke up one night, had a dream that he was going to win MVP, and he said to Giselle, I need to play football again.
My word.
And he's coming back to win an MVP.
My word. Okay.
You like that take?
That is a spirited pick.
Okay, Super Bowl. And this is the last one because we are way over time.
I hate the thought that I could be wrong about this.
Okay.
Buffalo?
Yep.
And this is in the spirit of your recent MVP pick.
Tampa.
Buffalo, Tampa.
Who wins?
Buffalo.
Buffalo beats Thomas Brady?
The Bills with that loaded roster finally circle the wagons, to quote Chris Berman, and finally lift the Lombardi trophy.
I think this might be the year of the Bills.
It feels like a good Buffalo year.
I'm going to go Buffalo. I had the same thing written down.
You had Buffalo beating Tampa. No kidding.
No, I had Buffalo versus Tampa, but I had Tampa winning.
You're not, because you don't bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs.
I don't. Because
you never pick against Tom Brady.
Because I already learned my lesson whenever I picked Aaron Rodgers to beat Tom Brady.
Sounds like you got an answer to me. You already picked the man to win MVP.
I'm taking Tampa.
You got Tampa beating Buffalo. I got Buffalo beating Tampa.
What's happened to me? I used to hate Tom Brady. Now I love the guy and
because
I support the guy.
Because he no longer has to beat the Steelers in the playoffs. That's the difference. I've always respected the man. Always respected him. Hate facing him.
It was always a Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning argument that I would get into. And
it's a fair argument.
Yeah. That's probably why I don't like Brady, because he would trump Manning. And I loved Peyton Manning.
You know what Tom Brady and Peyton Manning was? It was A-Rod and Jeter.
Yes.
That's what it felt like at the time. But both in their prime, it felt like A-Rod and Jeter. And it felt like Peyton Manning was A-Rod, and it felt like Tom Brady was Jeter. That's how it felt.
Next week. We're talking backyard brawl.
College football. Yes. Yes.
Week one is coming.
Here's
next
a question.
Week.
Do we want to predict the college football playoff next week?
Of course we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
We're also going to have the same four teams as we always do.
We probably will, including more than likely the Roman Reigns of college football.
But you know what that also means?
What's that?
Hachi.
It does mean Hachi.
Comes back.
It does mean Hachi comes back.
Is this a thing might take a back burner for a couple of months now with football?
Oh, yeah, because
full strength.
We got to fight to stay above room temperature. It has to happen.
I mean, we got a lot of football. If we're doing college and NFL now,
oh, yeah.
We have a lot of football to talk about in an hour to an hour and a half. And this was an hour and a half.
Well, there you go. We had a lot of football to talk about.
Yeah.
For Greg Finley, I'm Josh Taylor. Saying thank you for listening to episode number 44, the Brandon Moss episode of the Sunday Morning Grind podcast. Follow the show at Sunday MORN Grind. Follow Greg at
the GFIN.
Follow me at Josh Taylor. After talking football and business a thing for 90 minutes, we'll see you next week.
Josh Taylor HD, right?
What did I say?
You said Josh Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Josh Taylor HD. No. I need sleep, okay?
You do need sleep.
We're out of here.